Welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. My name is Mike, but you might know me as the Mediterranean Gardener on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm delighted to be Dobbies ambassador and your host for this winter gardening podcast. Now, contrary to popular belief, winter is not a time to shut down the garden, and there are plenty of jobs that can be done over the winter months to welcome winter colour and prepare your garden for the year ahead. From tidying tips to grow your own to repurposing your Christmas tree after the festive period, there are plenty of ways to enjoy gardening in winter. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Dobbies Horticultural Director Marcus Ailes to chat about my favourite thing, gardening, and how we can all make the most of our outdoor spaces over winter. So welcome, Marcus.
Hi, Mike. Great to be here. And what a fantastic topic to be getting into this time of year.
Absolutely, absolutely. When it comes to winter gardening, there are some jobs like tidying up, pruning, protecting plants that are essential to ensuring a good 2024 in the garden. But that's not all. There are also some brilliant plants for containers that will give your doorways and patios a burst of colour, and even some grow your own varieties that can be enjoyed through the colder months. And that's regardless of whether you're an avid gardener or just beginning your horticultural journey. So let's dive in to the world of winter gardening and find out how to maximize our outdoor spaces over the next few months. So Marcus, when it comes to tidying up in winter, what jobs should be done to ensure your garden is prepped for the year ahead, but also being mindful not to tidy too much away and leave some organic matter for wildlife?
Yeah, it's a bit of my mantra, really, this sort of thing. So I come from a time previously when my more elderly relatives would be scraping every last leaf and twig off of the garden so that you had that lovely clean soil showing all the way, and frantically pruning everything back. My grandfather or great uncle, everything would be out there with the shears and the chainsaw and everything. Let's dominate the garden and cut it all back. So to me, you know, we have wildlife to look after. We have, as you say, organic matter, which is being deposited down onto our borders. If you take it all away and then there's me telling you, you should add organic matter to your garden, go and buy some compost. Well, you've got leaves, you've got organic matter already in your garden. So why not save it? Okay, there may be excess. I live with trees all the way around my garden. So if I leave everything, then I'd be up to my waist in organic matter. So that would be a bit too much. But actually putting organic or leaving organic matter on the borders is great because it encourages all those little soil microbes and everything. It keeps the plant's roots nice and protected just in case we have a hard winter. We had some really shocking temperatures last year across the UK, which did a lot of damage. So making sure that you've got that left on the borders is really important, and it will rot down and the worms will take it down into the soil, and you will really improve your soil by leaving a layer there.
I'm sure people are listening to you going, that's great about borders, but I've got leaves all over my lawn. So what would be the advice there?
All you get is a horrible sludgy mess and all your grass goes yellow and the moss takes over, etc. So you need to get leaves off lawns. I think, you know, if you've got a high concentration of leaves, then actually trying to create leaf mold is a really good thing to do. So composting is all about creating normally a mix of different organic matter, so grass cuttings, twigs, leaves, etc., and weeds. But if you've got solid leaves, then actually composting those down separately gives you a really good compost, which you can then put onto your borders. So finding an area behind some trees or somewhere where you don't normally go, just getting some chicken wire to make a bit of an enclosure and then piling all the leaves into there would be really good.
And you mentioned there about pruning as well, and how maybe previously everything was kind of pruned within an inch of its life. So what would you say is the best approach to pruning at this time of year?
Certain things, yes, okay, you're into the winter, things go dormant and there are good times for pruning trees and shrubs. But I would always have an air of caution. Of course, we have stores that are all the way up into the Highlands. So we have to, you know, talk about the whole of the UK, and some areas in the UK don't suffer from heavier frost. But generally, as a rule, we can have some harsh winters now, some really cold periods, which can do damage. So I think lighter pruning for a lot of things before you get to the winter is good. Mm-hmm. So it's a traditional thing with some shrubs, with roses, etc., to do a half prune before you get to the winter so you can tidy things up. But wait until the spring when things start to grow again and then give a proper prune back to good solid shoots that are starting to come, and then you'll get a better development of plants. So you need to check up on the plant varieties and then don't go too heavy. You can always go a bit heavier if you want to prune harder, but once you've taken something too far back, you can't go back in time and get it to grow back again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you mentioned roses there, because it's not just, I guess, about the actual pruning, but it's about protecting the plant as well. So roses often suffer with windrock, don't they, if they're left too long, climbing varieties especially. So yeah, absolutely, getting that right balance, isn't it, I guess. Composting then, yes, you mentioned about composting as well, and you spoke about leaves. And we're going to come on to this a little bit later, but is there anything else that you think we could be using in our garden while we're tidying to compost?
Any organic material that you're pruning, even sort of smaller twigs, but also you can get, cutting down the larger branches, etc., making wildlife sanctuaries with some of those logs and things like that, and they will start to decompose down, so they're going to improve the soil as well. So there's very little that, unless you're taking a whole tree down, but then you've got logs. So I would first think about not just getting a skip or putting stuff into bags and taking it down to the dump. I would actually try and think, okay, can I use this in my garden? Where can I compost it? Do I need to put a compost heap in? Or, as I say, chicken wire is great for leaves. We do a fantastic composter called a hot bin, which I've got at home. And it is such a good bin because it's very insulated. So it heats up, kills off all of the nasty bugs and things and diseases that are in the any of the compost material, and makes compost really quickly. So there is a compost solution for everybody. And you can include, you know, kitchen waste and stuff in that as well, which is great, not to be sending that off for recycling.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had experience with a hot bin before. They are absolutely fantastic. And I think sometimes it comes down to preparation, doesn't it, as well? I mean, especially at the moment, we've had a lot of rain recently. So even just looking out into your garden, maybe while you can't get out there of an evening, while you've got a cup of tea in your hand, and just thinking, okay, what can I see? I've got the leaves on the ground. I'm going to trim that back. I'm going to do this. And just making that kind of mental note of saying, okay, well, I'm going to use this for this, this for this, this for this. Because sometimes we can get caught up, can't we, in the weekend of getting jobs done. And then everything goes into a green bin or plastic bags, like you said, and it ends up down the tip. So yeah, just a little bit of pre-planning can often help there as well a little bit.
And there's also that some of the plants, like grasses and things that have a bit of structure to them over the winter, don't trim them back. Because when you see those beautiful pictures that people take of a frosted grass head or a pampas grass or something like that, they look amazing with a cobweb sort of all shimmering in with dew. You know, those are fantastic things when you're walking around in the garden over winter to see. And if you've chopped it all back and it's gone, you're just not going to see it. So it's a bit of a tip there. And it helps the wildlife that are in, to encourage them into your garden, which again makes your garden more interesting over the winter months.
Absolutely. Yeah, that winter interest. Yeah, grasses. I mean, hydrangea as well. I know that some people are starting to kind of prune theirs, and obviously that's their prerogative. But I just think this, A, it protects the plants, but B, they just look beautiful, don't they, over that winter period, whether you've got a little bit of snow or a bit of frost on them. Yeah, absolutely fab. We're kind of talking about things getting cold. So let's talk about what we should be doing to protect plants over the winter months. What plants, I guess, would benefit from that? You know, what should we be doing around protection?
We'd all love to live in the Mediterranean where it's hot and sunny. And so we do like to bring those slightly tender plants into our gardens. And okay, they're not always the most expensive plants, and therefore, okay, if they're lost, you can replace them the following year. So things like cordylines. But if you can retain them year to year, now for some years, of course, they'll be fine. And we don't get hard enough winter, we don't have too much rain, and they will survive. But just in case, it's worth being ready. So watching the weather forecast, which is a national obsession, with every named storm that comes across now, we're all sort of wondering what's going to happen. But looking for those colder temperatures, especially when it's wet, especially if it's windy, then getting ready to have some fleece or newspaper or something that you can just put around some of these more tender plants. Doesn't need to be there for the whole winter. So it can just be there because we have a cold week or we have a couple of weeks, and then take it off again, let the plant breathe. Even just putting it on overnight to protect is really worth doing. And just reading up on your plants just to recognize which ones. There is a lot of damage done to evergreens because they retain their leaves over the winter. The more tender evergreens, like something like Ceanothus, so it has lovely evergreen foliage, but it's therefore losing moisture all the time, even over the winter. If the ground freezes, the plant can't take up moisture because the ground is frozen, and therefore it just loses the moisture from its leaves, and that's when they burn. So, of course, it's difficult if it's a large shrub, but if it's something more manageable, then again, putting some frost protection fleece around it will also protect it from the wind and from the heavier frost, and therefore you're more likely to retain it over the winter. So yeah, having a little, as you said earlier, a sort of walking around looking at composting and things, walk around, understand the plants that you have in the garden, and sort of write a little list. Okay, if there's going to be some cold weather, I'm going to dash out and look after these, then they would really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about if someone has maybe been dabbling in taking cuttings this year, and so they've got some young plants out in the garden right now? Have you got any recommendations around what they could be doing with them?
It depends on how well rooted they are and what sort of plants, but generally if something is still quite young, then, and all the effort that you've put in to propagate it, then I would, you know, really look after it over this winter. Traditionally, cold frames were very popular for that, even with a little paraffin heater in them. So those are still available, little cold frame heater. But even just if they're under glass, they're not getting too much moisture, they're protected from the wind. Even putting straw around things, etc., will help to protect them. So I would say if you're getting into propagating plants and things, then that would be a good investment to get a cold frame.
I've had a lot of success with my cold frame over the year. Like you said, it does just give that extra level of protection, which is needed for that first year, potentially. You spoke about straw there. I mean, I've got a lot of Agapanthus in my borders, and they've always been absolutely fine. I mean, I'm down in the south, so they've always been absolutely fine. But last year, like you said, it was particularly cold, and a few of those got hit. So they will all be covered in straw very soon, just to make sure they get through it.
I lost two big Agapanthus last year. Mm. And it's horrible because as they get bigger and they flower more and more, and then all of a sudden we have a winter like that. So it's worth putting the effort in. If you've got things in pots, then grouping them together, taking them out of the sort of more exposed area. There's a sort of safety in numbers thing by putting them together. They will look after each other, and then putting the frost fleece around there, or straw, as you say, those sort of things will just really help keeping the wet off as well for those Mediterranean plants. They don't like it being too wet. Making sure your pots have got drainage as well.
Yeah, so getting them up on feet as well, maybe. Like it could be a thing, keeping them off the ground. I often get asked questions around olive trees and if there's any need to protection. And it does often depend on the age of the plant as well, because, you know, older, mature trees, they're going to be okay largely. But, you know, if you've got very young trees, again, it might be wise to kind of fleece them, put some bubble wrap around the pot or something like that, you know, just to keep them well over that cold period.
Yeah, the younger Mediterranean plants that are brought in from those regions, of course, they're accustomed to a totally different climate. As you say, as they get older, they get more used to our climate. They sort of, they grow up with it. But when they're young, you really do need to look after them. Otherwise, they won't make it through.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've spoken through what we need to do now to kind of tidy up, to protect. But what about adding some interest into the garden? What about winter colour for pots, for hanging baskets? And that could be either in your, I don't know, a doorway or your patio. What would you recommend around that?
So at this time, you know, there isn't so much colour out there, but there are still bedding plants, which are good over the winter months. They will always flower better when it gets a bit warmer, but there are very hardy plants like winter pansies and violas that do very well.
Yeah.
And it's worth getting them in as the weather warms slightly towards spring. They will really start to, because they'll have a good root system, so they can really start to flower. So it's worth doing that. But I think our expectations change over the winter months and what we're looking for. And evergreens are so beautiful, conifers, heathers, things like that, that can be grouped together. It really gives you a whole different palette of plants to indulge yourself with and to do your doorstep or into the sort of borders around the front. You're not going to go right the way down the back of the garden with these things necessarily, but yes, you can make some really nice collections around your doorway, and then you can decorate them for Christmas by putting little lights on there or decorations. So I think that's where people should really focus their attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting what you said there about not putting it all the way down your garden. I think you need to be realistic about where you're going to be and where your lines of sight will be over the winter period. So, you know, I made up some winter pots not so long ago. They are very, very close to the back door. So, you know, as I move past, or if I'm taking something out, then I see it there immediately. So, yeah, again, having a think about where you're going to be looking, what's going to have the most impact in your garden is a good idea. And again, you mentioned all the ones that I love there. Violas, pansies, conifers, cyclamen, you know, they're all wonderful plants to be having a look at. And I like the idea of making them a little bit festive as well. So whether we're chucking some lights on it or whatever it may well be, to, you know, bring in the Christmas feel as well.
And don't forget berries as well. So there's lots of berried plants over this period. So pyracantha, for example.
Yes.
You know, it's fantastic to have. It's great for the birds to feed on. There's loads of berried plants out there. And if you can buy them now, even if they're quite small, then you've got them for future years. And they, as they get older, they will flower during the summer and they'll give you wonderful berries during the winter. So I would certainly invest in that sort of thing as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So is there anything we can be planting now for blooming next year?
Really, you know, planting out sort of the pansies, bulbs, etc. So the bulbs are still there. So, you know, snowdrops will be flowering in February and they're still available to buy as bulbs. So you haven't got too many months to wait. Then you've got crocuses that follow, then narcissi, then tulips. So you've got a whole month's worth of colour that you can be getting in the garden, and then associate putting your pansies and violas in with that. So that's certainly something to be getting done now. Once we get past Christmas, then we go into ready potted bulbs. So those have already been potted up for you. So if you do miss the dry bulb season, which runs up to Christmas, then you can actually then still be planting crocuses and tulips and daffodils in readiness for spring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important. So many people I talk to think if they've missed their September window to get their bulbs in, then that's it. They've missed a chance. But bulbs can be planted all the way up really until to the end of the year, really, can't they?
Yeah, tulips, they always say, you know, they shouldn't be planted until November because they are susceptible to disease before that. So, yeah, we're still, you know, we've got good stocks of bulbs that are still in store now. Mm-hmm. And they're certainly, you know, very viable right the way up till Christmas. You wouldn't plant them out if it's very frosty because they won't be able to be sort of planted correctly into the soil. But even after, you know, even in early January, you can still be putting bulbs in. They may flower a little later than the others that have been planted earlier. But yeah, there's still plenty of time. And as I say, there's the pot grown ones, which we'll have in immediately after Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything that we can be or should be doing to ensure that bulbs don't die over that winter period? If you are planting them between now and December, is there anything that we should be doing?
I think, you know, just putting some organic matter around. If you haven't got leaf debris and things like that, then just a bit of compost on the top of the surface of the soil. Generally, the bulbs are really hardy. So as long as you've planted them to the correct depth, they're going to be fine. But yeah, just a little bit of compost will help.
And that's 2 to 3 times the depth of the bulb, isn't it? That's kind of the depth we should be looking at.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So what about produce then? I mean, again, you know, you see people growing their tomatoes and everything like that over the summer period. But is there anything we could be growing right now, or at least, you know, kind of grow your own at least in the wintertime?
It is more challenging over the winter. Things are growing. There's not the sun and there isn't the heat to get things growing. But of course, you can still grow things indoors.
Yes.
So microgreens can be grown all year round and they're really expensive to buy in the shops. You can save yourself a lot of money by sprouting them yourselves. So that is ongoing. They're very nutritious. They're great to be eating this time of year when our vitamin levels drop with lack of sunshine, etc. So I would really get people to do that. And also any of the salad leaves, etc. There's some that are called cut and come again, which are fantastic. Planting troughs have on windowsills. They just need a bit of light and a bit of heat and they will continue to grow. And also herbs. If you've got pots of herbs that you've had outside, if you want to bring them into a porch, bring them into somewhere warm, warmer and light, then they will continue to grow. And then you've got herbs for Christmas then.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's people listening thinking, oh, microgreens sound interesting. It's not something I've ever done before. What words of advice would you have for them? Are they easy to grow? Do you get crops quickly?
Very easy. I would always take somebody, if they're really starting out on growing, take them there first. Mm. Because it's almost instant gratification.
Yes.
You've got some of those will be maturing over a 14-day period, and you've got something germinating within 7 days, then you can start cutting it in 14 to 21, depending on the type of crop.
But yeah.
They are great, really, really tasty. It's amazing that such little sprouts can have so much nutrition and so much taste, but they are really good for kids as well to be growing, because they can watch them. They're lots of different colors and things. So yeah, I would certainly say start with that, because it is really going to be good, and you can use that, you can eat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would echo the speed. And my daughter was very interested. I did some pumpkin microgreens from our Halloween pumpkin this year. She couldn't believe that, you know, within days it was sprouting. And then I think within 2 weeks we were adding them to the salad or a stir fry. I can't remember what we had, but yeah, they're fantastic. And especially if you're looking to get people into growing, I think they're a really great place to start. I'd agree with that. Yeah. What about sustainability in our gardens? And again, we mentioned composting a little bit earlier, but I want to come back to that again. So again, if someone was starting out on a composting journey, what are the sort of things that can actually be composting? Because there are some rules, aren't there, to a degree?
Yeah, most organic matter can be composted. You've just got to be careful of some of the more leathery leaves, things like holly and laurel and things like that. They don't break down particularly well. So just be careful with those. But it's also about the mix. So
yes,
leaf mold is fine. If you've got deciduous leaves, they will just rot down, but they do take a bit of time to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you've got general garden waste with weeds and lawn clippings and some small twigs and things like that, it's all about mixing it up to get the air into that compost so that it can break down and it encourages those microbes. You can get a compost activator, which will mm-hmm. speed up that process. And that's worthwhile doing if you've got a lot of material to rot down, so that you can get it into a usable state really quickly. It will depend on the heat a bit. That's why the hot bin is so good. So over the winter, that decomposition is slower, but it's very likely by the middle part of the spring, if you've made a good compost heap, you'll have plenty of compost to be able to dig back into the garden.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned a lot of green waste there. Is there anything else we should be adding to make sure we have a successful compost heap and it doesn't, you know, because sometimes you hear the horror stories, don't you, of it smelling or, you know, whatever. So is there anything else we should be adding in there?
You can include any kitchen waste generally as well, so vegetable peelings, etc. You want to be careful because of vermin. You've got food waste, so cooked food or raw meat and things like that. You can't really do that.
Yes.
But any vegetable material is great to be mixing in, and adding the sort of coarser material is really good, because that brings the air into it. So there are lots of blogs and information online about all sorts of weird things that people do put into their composting. But it's really see what you've got, see how you can mix that into your compost, and check online, or you can always call us at Dobby's and get more advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's good advice there. Yeah, good stuff. And talking again about sustainability, we've spoken about composting now, but one of the things that we have in an absolute abundance at this time of year is water. It's chucking it down most of the time in the UK. What about storing water? How can we do that? Is that a good thing to do?
It can seem a bit strange at this time of year when, as you say, we've got so much, we don't know what to do with it. But it's the wrong thing to do during the summer when we're having a drought and then thinking, I want to now store water.
Absolutely.
And then we haven't got any rain. So it depends how avid you are and how much you want to collect. Okay, you can link water butts together. So you can mm-hmm. have a water butt draining off of your shed or off of the house or whatever. And it will have an overflow on it as well, so that when it is full, it can then flow off into the border, or you can link another water butt to it. So you could keep going along that if you wanted to collect loads of water.
Yeah.
Rainwater is so much better, especially for indoor plants or for watering in the greenhouse or anything that you're propagating, because it doesn't have chlorine or any of the other things that they put in water for us. So the plants will really appreciate it. And, you know, you have got then a reservoir to fall back on. And, you know, it's just the best thing to do, really, for the plants to get the best growth from them.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the fact that we often think about this in the middle of summer, when there's a drought, when maybe there's a hose pipe ban. Ugh, why didn't I start that? And now is just the perfect time to get that going.
Fantastic Christmas gift would be to buy yes. somebody a water pipe.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It's just a bit of a challenge to wrap it. That's the cost you as much in wrapping paper.
Be creative. I'm sure they'll get some creative way of wrapping that up. You've segued there nicely into Christmas. It is on its way, isn't it? So people that have maybe freshly cut Christmas trees, how can we repurpose these in the gardens after the festive period is over? Because you often see them, don't you, out of the front of people's houses, ready to be collected by the council. So is there anything we can do with those?
Over the years, we've got involved in recycling schemes with local councils and this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I got to thinking, and a couple of years ago, and just thinking on the same basis of why would you ship all of your green waste away to then buy it in bags and bring it back into your garden?
Yeah.
There is an organic plant that has been produced as a crop. It's not taken from the wild, so it is a crop like any other. It just takes 10 years to get to that size. It's a very environmentally friendly way of absorbing carbon into that. And what you want to do is actually then be able to not put it onto a skip lorry or take it down somewhere or burn it or do anything. You actually just want to let it decompose in your garden. So cutting all the branches off, putting it underneath a hedge makes a fantastic environment for wildlife to shelter over the winter. Of course, this will be in early January when you'll be doing this, and it's just at that time. Normally, it's quite mild up to Christmas, and then it starts, if we're going to get some cold weather, it'll be from then. So that's a great thing to do with the kids, to get that down there. And then the main trunk, just chop it down into shorter lengths and make a little log pile. And again, that's great for beetles and any other wildlife that need to be sheltering over that period. Can scurry away. You could even make a little hedgehog house, maybe, depending yep. on the size of your Christmas tree.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about for people that have maybe opted for pot-grown trees? What's the best thing to do with that? Should we be planting them out after Christmas so it can be brought in for the following year, or should they stay in their pots? What would you recommend there?
It depends on what you see for the tree for the future. Do you want to bring it in the following year? Then it's best if you can pot it on to the next size pot. So, you know, find a pot of a suitable size, plant it in John Innes number 3 compost.
Yep.
We've got our peat-free version of that, which is great. That will give a little bit more root room without allowing the plant developing too much. And then, you know, putting it somewhere where it's not too much in a slightly more sheltered position so that it can just get established, get its roots down, and it will make an attractive tree in a pot in the garden. You can underplant it with something if you wanted to, mm-hmm. and then it will be ready for next year. If you've got a large garden and you want to plant it out in the garden,
yeah.
then yes, you can do that, and then maybe decorate it with some battery lights or something next year so that it can sit out in the garden, or leave it in a larger pot still and then just have it by your front door over the Christmas period with lights and decorations on it. So the best thing is that it's a tree that, you know, can grow from year to year.
Yeah.
And it sort of becomes like a family heirloom that each year you grow it on. You can prune it as well, so you can trim it back, so you can keep it bushier than it would grow in the wild. Some of these trees do grow very large very quickly. So
right.
again, you can trim it and prune it and then keep a nice shape on it as well.
And in the spirit of Christmas, then, you mentioned gifting water butts earlier on, but what gardening gifts would you recommend for anyone who's looking to purchase a present for a green-fingered relative or a friend this year?
I think it depends on the recipient, but I think if you know somebody is a really avid gardener and therefore they would like some kit, you know, whether it's a new pair of secateurs or a new spade or whatever, then we've got fantastic, super quality tools and things like that, which somebody, or gloves or things that are a little bit special. They're a little bit, the quality is a bit above the average that you would get in other retailers. And those would be fantastic for somebody to receive something like that, because they will really appreciate it,
yeah.
making the jobs easier for them over the next gardening season. So that would be a good one. If somebody's just starting on this gardening journey, we've got a fantastic selection of gardening growing kits and things
right.
like that. So
yep.
whether it's with bulbs or with seeds or wildflowers or microgreens or any of these things, there are fantastic, really good value introductions to gardening. And that's for people at whatever age. I started when I was about 7 years old because people used to give me things to grow. And I think it's a really good thing. But whatever your age is, 7 to 80, whatever, there's always a good time to start, and it's now. And if you receive something, or a wonderful boxed amaryllis, maybe, they're a wonderful thing to grow during the winter months, straight after Christmas. Get it planted and watch it grow. It just reminds you that spring is just around the corner.
Absolutely. And those reminders, I think, can be really useful over a period where maybe conventionally not a lot is growing. And yeah, having those things in the house can just brighten everything up, can't it? Yeah,
it can, yeah.
Marcus, thank you so, so much for joining us today. I hope that's given everybody listening some inspiration on how you can make the most of your garden this winter and prepare it for the year ahead. That's all we have time for today, and thanks for listening. Be sure to visit dobbies.com and social channels, where there are lots more tips and advice for Christmas. Stay tuned for the next Dobbies podcast, which is coming soon.